Okay, we said that in order to be a chassid, so putting it into practice in Avodas Hashem, specifically by tefillah, is first to recognize the godliness of the Rabbanu Shalom, to feel mamash like you're standing in front of him, and realize how great he is, and how small you are compared to that. And then to also think about the opposite, how insignificant and small you are. Ra'otzar, she is born in Ashiflus Ha'odom of Chisusa. Lefi Chumrashi of Gasusa. Not necessarily in contrast to the Rabbanu Shel Olam, but intrinsically. A human being is very frail and very insignificant. We'll see what that means. Kol Shekein Lefi Achatoyim Shechotam Yodo. Even if you be a perfect person, surely a person who sinned is makes even detracts even more from his importance. Ki al kol eila iafsher shelo yechred libo v'lo yirash ba'odo medaber dvorav nis barach. A person takes that in consideration when he's davening, or he's doing the mitzvah and he feels he's doing the mitzvah in front of the Rabbanu Shel Olam. It should put a shiver down his spine and in his heart, right? That umaskir b'shmo mishtadl hayrotzos lo. You mention God's name. You're trying to create a relationship and you see how insignificant and how inadequate you are. Person has to serve the Rabbanu Shem with fear, awe, and gilu bira'ada, and with trembling. That the Rabbanu Shem is awesome over a person. It's easier for a malach who is separated from the physical world to really appreciate the greatness of the Rabbanu Shel Olam because he appreciates more spiritual things. Therefore, the Rabbanu Shalom's awe is even greater over malachim than over human beings. David HaMelech Olav HaSholom Hoi Meshabeach Va'omer I'll bow down to you and stand in awe of you. That pasuk means that because of my name, person is fearful. Nichas means to be afraid. Person should be ashamed, embarrassed to lift up his head before the Rabbanu Shalom. We'll get to a second explain what that means, what busha is, what
means to be ashamed. Just a general question. All this, these emotions, these feelings that we're supposed to have, it's spoken at this particular midah. Now, does this mean that we? Is it for people who are on lesser madragas? I mean, we're very advanced in the Sitzur Sharim now. So, is it like focusing? No, in the sefer, is it focusing on this level of person, or what
right.
can we derive from it?
Yeah.
Who are
we'll
not?
We'll get to in a second. Yeah, we'll get a second. Yeah. It's a good question. This all starts in the heart. And after that, it expresses itself in action. How? That a person is serious, he bows before the Rabbanu Shalom, shiflu seinayim, he puts his eyes down, stands with his hands clasped, like a servant standing before his master. The Chenom Rugmora, Rava Pachar Yodei Masle, Rava would fold his hands, one over the other, like this, like standing in submission and fear, feeling very inadequate in front of a master. Omer Ka'avda Kamimori, like a slave in front of his master. Okay, that's what he says. Okay, first of all of this taka is part of the midah of chassidus. Chassidus means what is lifni meshuras hadin, right? That a person has to feel these intense feelings is only if he's on the level where he's already reached all the other simple things. But even these intense feelings need to be explained, because it would seem that a person therefore should feel like he's nothing, right? Inadequate, worthless, and that is not what it means. Even though that would seem that that's anivus, and we see that in certain places it seems like that, says Avraham Avinu said, "Anofi ofer ve'efer." I'm like dust and earth, right? Dust and ashes. Like he's like nothing. Or Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Anachnu ma? What are we? We're nothing," right? So it would seem that a person should feel that he's nothing, right? And they should walk around feeling totally a non-entity. But that's not the case. The Rabbeinu Yonah says, and we've spoken about this before, but I want to go into a little bit more detail now and explain it well, so we put this into perspective. The Rabbeinu Yonah says that the foundation of Avodas Hashem, he's speaking about in Shari HaAvoda, right, his preface to all mitzvahs, all tefillah, all Avodas Hashem, is Lahakir Ma'ilas Atzma. A person has to appreciate his greatness, Ma'ilas Atzma, what kind of Ma'ila he has, the positive points about his being. That's called Ma'ilas Atzma. And he says that if a person doesn't feel and appreciate how great he is, who he is, then he's not going to be able to be an Oved Hashem. Not from the positive, not from the negative. He's not going to be able to serve the Rabban Shalom because he's going to feel that if I'm really nothing and worthless, then why would the Rabban Shalom want a nothing and worthless serving him? What do I gain? Right? It's like if I'm an ant, does God want ants to serve him? What if I'm nothing, so what could the Rabban Shalom possibly get out of me or want from me if I'm a nothing? That's on the positive side. On the negative side, he says, what would a person have to give him a deterrent from doing terrible things if he thinks he's terrible and good for nothing? Right? That a person who's good for nothing does good for nothing things. If you're a nothing, then what's going to be expected of you? So why should you feel at all that you've done something wrong, or you shouldn't do something wrong if you're a nothing? Right? Nothing, good for nothings, do good for nothing things. So therefore he says on both sides, both on the asay tov, that the incentive to do good and the deterrent from doing bad necessitates a person recognizing how important he is. Ma'ilas Atzma. Okay. Which is more like the Slabotka kind of Musar, which emphasizes the greatness of a person, which we'll see in a second, is not Gaiva. Whereas the Navardic approach to Musar is to recognize how worthless a person is and how nothing a person is. We'll see that both are true, and they have to be used together. Start with the idea of why it's important for a person to recognize how great he is, and why that's not gaiva, and why it doesn't contradict what we're saying over here, and why it doesn't contradict what Avraham Avinu said. Moshe Rabbeinu was an onav mikol adam. He obviously didn't think he was a nothing. He would be a fool if he thought he was nothing. He was the one who received the Torah. If he's a nothing, why did the Rabban Shem choose him to receive the Torah? So the first idea is, like we said, that if you don't feel you're something, then why would the Rabban Shem want you to serve him? What incentive would you have to serve the Rabban Shem if you feel you're nothing? What you do is worthless. And also, why would you have an incentive not to do things bad if you feel that's all you're capable of? You're just good for nothing. And the Tozer Rosh Yeshiva says that's in fact what we say after Vidui. After we say all the terrible things we did, right? Oshamnu, Bogadnu, Gazalnu. We say, Ovarnu, Amitzvosecho, Mishpatecho, Hatovim, Velo Shovalonu. So simple meaning, Lo Shovalonu is Lohaya Shaveh. Wasn't worth it. We did all these things we had in mind that we're going to gain from it, and at the end, looking back, we didn't gain what we thought we'd gain. Lo hayashaveh, it wasn't worth it. But Tzara Shiva, when your mere bluffs, it means something else. Lo shava lanu means it was not appropriate for me. In Yiddish, it's nisht far mir zugepasst. Not befitting me. Lo shava wasn't equal to me. Meaning the following. If a person feels that all these terrible sins are what he's capable of doing, that's what he is. So then, what's it to confess? That's what I am. But if a person feels that this is not me, I'm capable of doing a lot better and being a lot better, then there's something to confess. Then I feel what you call embarrassed. See, in a second, that's what embarrassment is. Embarrassment is only where you feel what you did is inappropriate. It's not befitting you. Because you feel it is befitting you, then there's nothing to be embarrassed of. And in fact, there's another reason why a person has to feel important, right? That he's important, and life is important, and being a human being is important. Because if not, then the Torah is not important. Meaning the following. Let's put it into the context. Right before the Torah was given, the Rabban Shem told Moshe Rabbeinu to go back down and warn the people not to come up to Har Sinai again, because if anybody comes up and touches the mountain, they're going to be liable to a death penalty. And if one person gets killed, the Rabban Shem says to me, it's like a multitude. Every person's important to me. So Moshe Rabbeinu said to the Rabban Shem, there's no purpose in doing this. I can't keep running up and down this mountain. Right? It's not so easy to keep going down and up the mountain, even though the Netziv says that Moshe Rabbeinu went up and down the mountain in a cloud, like an elevator. He got into the cloud, and the cloud raised him up. So he didn't have to climb up and down. But in any case, it still was a bother to get into the elevator and keep going up and down the mountain. He said, I already warned the people once that they're not allowed to come up to Har Sinai. What's the purpose of doing it again? So there are many different answers to that question. Why it was necessary. I want to say the following. The reason the Rabban Shem had Moshe Rabbeinu go down and warn the people right before Matan Torah again that no one should come up or attempt to come up to the mountain because they would be liable to a death penalty, and the Rabban Shem would consider that tragic, because even if one person was liable to a death penalty, God considers it like a multitude of people. Everybody's very, very important. The reason is because the Torah, one way of looking at the Torah, is like the owner's manual to the world, right? You buy a car, so you get a book of instructions how to use the car, because you didn't design the car, somebody designed it, right? Toyota, Ford, whatever, they designed the car, and they designed for it to run on various things, and you are bound to the design of the designer. You can't decide what you want to do, right? I own my car. I can't decide that I want to put water in the gas tank. I can decide that, but it's not going to go anywhere. If I want the car to function, I'm going to have to do what the designer said I should do with it. Because if I don't, it's not going to work. Okay, unless I can redesign the car. So, if the Rabban Shem designed the world, then he designed it to run a certain way. He designed us to eat certain things and not certain other things. And certain things damage us and certain things don't. And certain things we should wear and certain things not, and certain things we should say and not, and think and whatever. And the Torah is the owner's manual to the world. It describes for us what we're designed to do. What is beneficial for us to do and what's detrimental. What kind of gas to put in the gas tank and what kind of thing will destroy the gas tank or slowly burn out the motor. The only thing is that is true of something important. In other words, when you get a car, you get a book with instructions how to use it, right? A 50, 60 page book that describes the car. When you buy a new kitchen gadget, you may get one page of instructions how to use it properly and how to clean it and what to do with it and what not to do with it. When you buy a box of tissues, it does not come with a list of instructions how to blow your nose properly, right? Nor if you buy a thing of gum, does it come with instructions how to chew it properly. Why? Because it's not worth the instructions. Because if you misuse the gum or misuse the tissues, buy another box. So it's not important enough to write instructions for. The more important the thing, the more important the instructions. So if human life is important and the Torah is the guidebook, the instruction sheet for human life, then the Torah is important. The human life is not important, then the Torah is not important. Because how could the instructions for an unimportant life be more important than the life itself? Yeah. So before the Torah was given, the Rabban Shem wanted to impress upon Klal Yisrael how important they were. That God's warning them again, because Chas V'Shalom, a Jew, should do something, and B'chayiv Nisa, to me it's like a multitude of people. Every Jewish life, every human life is important to me, says the Rabban Shem. And therefore you'll understand how important the Torah is. because the Torah is the instruction book for human life, for Jewish life. So therefore, in order to really appreciate how important the Torah is, before it was given, the Rav Amoslem had to make it clear how important life is to him. Okay, so that's another reason why a person has to be makir how important his life is, because otherwise, what's the purpose of keeping the Torah? How could the Torah be important if the life that it's supposed to guide is not important? And that's why the Rav Amoslem told Moshe Rabbeinu to go down and to warn the people again. And that's why it says in the Medrash, Tonet Ve'Eliyahu, that every Jew is chayef to say, Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam, right? The world is created for me. And he shouldn't say there's no Olam Haba and there's no Tchias HaMesim. Now, those two things don't seem to go together. Just because the world's created for me, therefore there's an Olam Haba and Tchias HaMesim. And if it wasn't created for me, then there's no Olam Haba and Tchias. What's the connection? The connection is very simple. If every human being is important, okay, and the world would have been created for one person, that means how important the human being is, then it makes sense that there is eternity to that being. That there's an Olam Haba, there's a Tchias HaMesim. But if a person is not important at all, then why bring him back from an encore? Right? He's not important the first time around. Why in the world would there be an idea of being him being eternal or resurrection of the dead? You're gone. They bring ants back. Ants don't get resurrection of the dead. They're not important. So if a human being is not important, then it makes sense to say that is not important enough to bring back a second time or to give eternity. But if he's important, then it's important enough to make him eternal and to bring him back for an encore. So therefore, unless a person realizes that every human being is important enough to create the entire universe for, then he has doubts whether it's important enough to bring him back. So you have to say, Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. Now all of this seems to contradict what he says here, that a person has to feel nothing, inadequate, or whatever, and the whole idea of anivus, of being humble. Now, it just doesn't sound like you're too humble. So we say the difference between gaiva and makir amilus atzmo is the following, and I want to elaborate on it, but I'll say what I usually say, two sentences. Gaiva is, I'm important because I made myself important, and that gives me rights. And makir ma'alus atzmo is, I'm important because God made me important, and that gives me responsibility. That's the difference. Now, let me explain what it means. A person, what is real anivus, and what is he talking about over here? Shiflus ha'adam. What did Avraham Avinu meant when he said, Ani ofer ve'efer, and Moshe Rabbeinu was onav mikol adam? It means that a person has to recognize his potential. The Rav Amoslem created a person to be very important, tremendous potential. And he invested in him tremendous amount, a body, a soul, abilities, capabilities, talents, and tremendous potential. A person has to recognize that what that potential is. That means the Rav Amoslem made me important. And he made me the most important thing in creation. And he would have created the whole world just for me. And that gives me tremendous responsibility, and I feel totally inadequate based on how great I am of how much I'm living up to that. Either because I'm not bringing out the potential and I'm sinning, and chait means there's something missing, right? You miss the mark. So the Rav Amoslem gave me the power to be an expert archer and to make a bullseye every time. And I'm flubbing it up. I'm missing the target. So I feel inadequate. Right? That doesn't mean that I don't feel important. It's important that I make a bullseye. And I have tremendous power to do it. And I recognize that. And I recognize how much responsibility that gives me. At the same time, I realize how inadequate I am. Avraham Avinu said, I'm offer the afer. Offer the afer means I'm like earth and like ashes. Ashes come from something. The Beis Halevi says this, but he says it. Ashes were once important, but you burned it, you used it up, and now it's just ash. Earth is right now not important, but you can grow things in it and use it for something important. Avraham Avinu said like this, I'm offer the afer. I have tremendous potential, but I feel like I burned it up and didn't use it for what it was supposed to be. I just have the ashes. and I have tremendous potential of being offer and being a vehicle for growth, but maybe I'm not exercising, I'm not growing anything in me. So he recognizes the potential, and tremendous potential, past and future, but I don't know if I'm living up to it. I'm offer ve'efer. Moshe Rabbeinu said, anachnu ma, what are we, or we're what? What means a certain potential, right? We're something, but you have to now develop that ma, right? What do you develop? And we don't know. We don't know if we've developed it more than what the Rabbanu Shem gave us. Moshe Rabbeinu could be the greatest onav because he recognized he had the greatest potential. The Rabbanu Shem gave him tremendous potential. He spoke to him closer than anybody else. He put him on a pedestal and gave him the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu could feel inadequate because of that, right? And maybe I'm not living up to my potential. So he could be the greatest onav is after the person who could be of the greatest potential. If you're a nothing, right, for somebody who's poor to say, well, riches is nothing, and he's not got nothing. But for Shlomo HaMelech to say that, it's something. So that is, he's talking over here about feeling inadequate, but not because I'm a nothing. Because I'm bedafka, a something, and I'm not living up to that something. Right? And I could always do more. And I'm sometimes not only not living up to it, but destroying that potential by doing averus. So the two things aren't what's it called? It says you're allowed to have a shmini shebishminis of gaiva, 1/8 of an eighth, which simple meaning is that was the smallest measure, that a liquid measure that existed in time of Chazal, 1/8 of an eighth. So you're allowed to have the smallest measure of gaiva, but the Vilna Gaon says it means something else. If you take the eighth parsha in the Torah, and the eighth pasuk, the pasuk is Katonti Mikol HaChasodim. Vayishlach is the eighth parsha, and the eighth pasuk in Vayishlach is Katonti Mikol HaChasodim. I feel inadequate because of all the kindness Hashem did for me. God did so much for me. He invested in me so much, right? Not just externally, internally too. Gave me a body, gave me a soul, gave me tremendous potential. He gave me material possessions, right? And I feel, because of that, inadequate. That kind of, that's the gaiva a person should have. Recognizing all the potential you have, all the things that Rabbanu Shem gave you. At the same time, realizing that maybe you're not using it properly, and maybe you're not using it to its fullest extent. Maybe you're inadequate. That's the katonti. That is the, what's it called, the idea of gaiva that is connected to the real anivus. That kind of gaiva is called makir malas atzmo. So that is the, and that's busha. A person should feel embarrassed. Not embarrassed and ashamed of himself that he's a nobody, because he's a nobody, there's nothing to be embarrassed about. People don't realize what is befitting, don't have any embarrassment. Little kids don't have any shame, because they don't understand what to be ashamed of. It's only the more das a person has, the more shame he can have. Right? Because the more you realize what's appropriate, the more you can be ashamed if you do things that aren't appropriate. But if you don't realize what's appropriate, then there's nothing to be ashamed of. So it's only a person who recognizes what his potential is and what he could do, and then feels inadequate because he's doing not what he could do and not what he should do and not what is befitting him. That's busha. That's what busha is. So therefore it all fits together. In other words, it's when a person's not supposed to feel worthless. He's not supposed to feel as a nothing and a nobody. He's supposed to feel, on the one hand, extremely important, but important because the Rabbanu Shem invested in him that importance, and now he has the responsibility to live up to it. And now he can feel he's not living up to it. At the same time, I recognize what I could be if I would live up to it, and how inadequate I am, and how much more I have to go. So I can feel very contrite and humble. At the same time, the humility comes from a feeling of self-worth and who you really, what potential you have. So the two things really have to work together. So in answer to Yosef also, in order for a person to really balance those two things out, he has to be in a madrega where he really understands who he is, what he is. You have to be a chassid to really appreciate who you are, at the same time to be honest enough to know that you're not living up to that. So a person who's not on this madrega has to feel these things to a certain degree, but he can never feel them to the extent, right, the intensity that a chassid could feel it. That's the you can feel these ideas on your level, but to feel them on the highest level, you have to be a chassid. Okay, any questions on this?
There's no steer between Navardak and Sabak.
Oh, right. So therefore, you need both. You need, right, you need the Nevardik on the one hand, the Slobodka on the one hand, first to realize what greatness a person is, how potentially great a person is. And then you can kick in with the other part to really feel how a person doesn't live up to that potential and feels inadequate. So really you need a combination of both. You can't, and both of those Musar things have connection to both. Because if you really don't appreciate what you can do, then there's nothing to feel nothing about. So Nevardik only kicks in if you really appreciate who you are. And if you're the Slabotka thing of understanding the greatness of a human being is only insofar that I recognize what my potential is, but on the other hand, I'm not going, don't go around my nose in the air and feel I've reached that potential. So the truth is they both really reflect the same thing, just two sides of the same coin. So,
I was thinking on the Katonti, there's two different the Tami and Mikra. Some girsas have it Revi, some have it Azlagirish.
Right.
Depends on the thing. So what's the like Revi is like a low Revi is like that. Like I'm a nothing. Azlagirish, I'm something. So they're both Marumas in the.
You saw that now?
I thought of it once.
Yeah, very nice. Very nice. Yeah, exactly. There's I heard two Balkoris by Vaishlas. Right, Monday and Thursday. One read it, my bar mitzvah, I read it with Asla Gerish. And I heard he was, what's it called, he read it with a V. And I looked, I can, some chumashim it's one way and some chumashim it's a different way. Okay. Okay. Any other questions on this? I think that's pretty much clear what the proper hashkafa is. Okay. Doing it is a different story. But I think it's at least intellectually understanding what it should be is. Okay.